the famed stare down of a practice squad player. He was staring down the bench. Out comes the flag from Tony Corrente.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Come on, man. Know the context of the moment.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Come on.
Earlier on the show, 49ers tight end George Kittle. Still to come. From NBC Sports Boston, Tom Curran. UTSA running back Sincere McCormick. Plus actor Bill Pullman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show's on the air. Good chat with George Kittle in hour number one. Not a fan of the flag on Cassius Marsh, the Chicago Bears pass rusher who got flagged for taunting late in the Monday night game. That's now day two of us talking about it because the league backed it up today in a video put out by the senior vice president of officiating of the NFL, Perry Fuel. Said, this is the call. This is taunting. This is what we want. And I'm like, not what I want. I don't know another NFL fan that's won it. We had one guy, I guess, last hour say it's the letter of the law. Do I like the law? I don't. And I said it on Monday that the letter of the law is you can't celebrate at an opposing player, and you can't do it in the direction of another person's bench. And it's what I said. It's bringing targeting to the celebration rule. And the problem with targeting, as we know in college football, is you have no idea what it is and what it isn't, what it can be, what it isn't, because it's so arbitrarily enforced at the collegiate level. And here, technically, he's staring at the bench, and that's the bench, and you're not allowed to do that in a bench. And what posturing is the word that Perry Fuel used? And I mean, and now we're flagging people for posturing, which is stupid. There's just no other way to put it. Fans don't want to hear it. They don't like it. And it's just not cool, man. At any rate, this hour, Tommy Curran,
Tommy.
Is going to be joining us from New England, which is above 500 for the first time since week three of last year. And that's when Cam got COVID and then everything kind of went sideways for the team. And then below 500 for the first time in since before Brady was a starter. So, what's the future with Tom E. Curran and the Patriots? And he'll give us what he knows what's going on with the Patriots. We're taking on the Browns this weekend. And it looks like the Patriots are not going to get Odell Beckham Jr. Three teams that are the apple of his eye, according to Diana Russini. Today, where he's going to make his choice, Packers and the Saints and the Chiefs. I said I'd choose the Packers if I was him. I don't know. Again, it's a two-way street as to who's, going to be joining what team. And it takes two to tango. And our colleague at Pro Football Talk has said there's a narrowing of the choices. Is that correct, Chris Brockman? What do you got for me over there?
Oh, I was actually going to cite Jeff Howe's report from The Athletic who's come on that said six teams remain in the hunt, including the Patriots and Seahawks.
Okay.
Along with Packers, Saints, and Chiefs. And then Tom Silverstein, who covers the Packers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, said that, according to his source, the Packers are in but are only offering Odell the veteran's minimum. Price could go up, but they can't really afford to pay him a ton of money since they're still trying to extend Davante Adams.
Okay, Greg Bedard saying the Patriots are in on signing Odell. And the NBA Pro Football Talk saying there's a quote-unquote firm belief in some circles that Odell will wind up with the Saints.
But he's still trying to gauge the quarterback situation there.
I guess. But I bet you I know who can make a very impressive push.
Sean Payton?
Mark Ingram, too.
Yeah.
Mark Ingram calling up Odell and saying, you know, we got this here. There's some very, very Demario Davis, if he wants in on it. I mean, there's some very impressive people, Cameron Jordan, that could call him up and say, we got this. Come on. So this is a sweepstakes, huh?
Yeah, looks like it's going to be a fun afternoon.
You know what? I knew it would be as well. Yeah, who wants him? Browns couldn't use him. Look what happened. You knew it. There's a lot of people that see him and say he's got runway left, man. I knew it. He's going to sign somewhere, and it's going to be fun. Whether he'll do well, I'm assuming he will.
29 years old.
Yeah, man. Oh, boy. Okay. So Tom E. Curran will join us in about 15 minutes' time to tell us what's what on that front.
Can't wait.
Okay. What do our poll folks say right now? What is our poll right now? At Rich Eisen Show for you to vote
out,
on it as well.
We threw out the three teams from Diana's report. If you're Odell, where do you go? Packers, Chiefs, Saints. I threw the other out there for anyone else. Seahawks, Patriots, whoever. Packers still lead the way, guys. 49%. Other 24%, 15% Chiefs, 12% Saints.
Okay. Very good. Let's give out some cash. Let's do that. You know I was born to give away cash and prizes.
I heard that about you.
So the NIL deal that we give out every single Wednesday right here on the Rich Eisen Show, courtesy of our friends and partners at Gorilla Glue, it's called The Toughest Player on Planet Earth, and we love to give this award to kids who not only ball out on the field but have a great story as to how they got to their institution of higher learning and start playing football for them, and then what they do if they do stuff in the classroom, that's obviously a terrific check mark. And then the thing that we particularly like is they're not that star national player that definitely has a national name, image, and likeness deal, and they don't see our phone call coming. Kind of dig on all that stuff, right? So we have been checking out this young man, because he's been wrecking the buffet at, you know, in the Conference USA Club. For UTSA, University of Texas at San Antonio, their running back, Sincere McCormick. Love the name, too, by the way. Sincere McCormick not only holds the school records for career rushing yards and rushing touchdowns at UTSA, and he's run for 100 yards in seven of his nine games. He did it in his first three of four, and we're like, okay, we're going to keep an eye on him. And then sure enough, they keep winning and keep winning and keep winning, and the UTSA Roadrunners are one of only four remaining undefeated teams at 9-0. As Wake Forest lost this week, there's now only four teams left: Georgia, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, and UTSA. And this kid is a star player there, and he's been terrific all year long. So, is our winner on the phone line, Chris?
Yes, sir.
And joining us now on the Rich Eisen Show is the winner of this week's Toughest Player on Planet Earth from Gorilla Glue, and he gets the NIL deal, a check, and he gets a gets some product. Ladies and gentlemen, Sincere McCormick.
Sincere. Right. Let's go.
Yeah. UT San Antonio running back. How are you, Sincere?
I'm doing great today. I just got done with football practice and just looking forward to the rest of my day.
Okay, let's get to it. So how did you find your way to UTSA, to Texas San Antonio, Sincere? Your path here.
It's kind of a journey. I was born and raised in California. My mom decided to move to Vegas, and then from on there, she met someone, and we ended up moving to Texas. Starting to meet a lot more people. Gradually met this guy named Chris Pryor. He went to Judson, and then from on there, my journey kind of just set off. I was kind of just making a name for myself, coming into a new city. You know, meeting Frank Wilson. Frank Wilson was the first offer I had at UTSA, and talking to him, knowing the process of what I could, you know, what could be done here, and I took a chance on myself, and I bet on myself every single time. So I knew, you know, coming to UTSA that, you know, I can make a change, make something happen here, and that's what we're doing right now.
I'll be honest with you, Sincere. I'll be sincere. We have been checking you out since we started this NIL deal, Toughest Player on Planet Earth. I mean, you popped off the screen with 100-yard performances in three of your first four games, and now here you are, part of the 15th-ranked Roadrunners team and one of only four undefeated teams remaining in big-time college football. How is this landing on you and your teammates that you're performing so well here?
You know, everybody in the locker room and even outside of the, like in the community, is just, you know, happy and excited. But it's the culture that was instilled into us, you know, thinking Coach Traylor, bringing that culture in and having older guys live up to that culture. And just, you know, just the details and everything we put in it during the summer, leading up into the fall, you know, and finally seeing our results come to reality. So that's something that, you know, we pride ourselves in, And, you know, just seeing it develop is something that we're excited for and we're happy for.
All right. I mean, so you've got, you're ranked seventh currently in an FBS rushing yards list right now with 1,060. You've got 17 career 100-yard rushing games, also a school record. You hold the school records for career rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. What's your goal when it all comes down to it, Sincere McCormick? What do you got for me?
You know, what it comes down to is to, you know, do everything I can for, you know, to lead. Hopefully get up to the top three by the time it's all said and done. Score as many touchdowns as I can, probably get to 15. But really all I think about is just winning the games with my teammates. I let everything fall into play because I know I'm going to get mine. But for my team, just doing everything I can, just being a team player, you know. I'm excited I achieved all my goals, achieved the goals that, you know, came by, but you can't really pay attention to that because, you know, you steer away from the disenjoying the moment and, you know, seizing the moment with your teammates. So, you know, just letting that, you know, develop itself, I just don't really worry about that.
All right. It's the four remaining undefeated teams I just mentioned moments ago in the FBS: Georgia, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, and UTSA. Do you want a piece of these guys, Sincere McCormick? You want a piece of these guys? You're ranked 23rd. Your team's ranked 23rd in the college football playoff rankings right now.
Of course I want a piece of them, you know, just to showcase our talent that we have here at UTSA. I know we're a new program, but we're capable of a lot more than what people think. You know, the competition level really don't matter, you know, because we all have to suit up the same, wake up the same, go through the same thing. So, you know, just to be able to showcase our talent against those opponents will be, you know, something big for this program.
Okay. And then the most important job that you have, which is one of the many reasons why you're getting this award, is your most important job. You're a dad, correct, Sincere?
Yes. Yes, sir. I'm a dad. My daughter came here Monday. I've been spending time with her ever since. She started walking around. You know how little girls get. They start. She's about to be one tomorrow. So, you know, she started getting into a lot of things. So, you know, as a dad, you got to say no many times so they don't touch anything. But, you know, I'm happy that she came down.
Okay. Your one-year-old daughter legacy. So now I know for sure, because I've been asking everybody who's winning the Toughest Player on Planet Earth Award from Gorilla Glue, the NIL deal, to check for $1,000. That obviously is going to come in handy. But you must have some stuff of legacies that requires fixing. There has to be some toy, something that the glue or tape will come in handy with, right? Correct, Sincere McCormick?
Yeah, and the crazy thing would just happen with the glue. I was fixing her little car that she has, and one of the pieces fell off. So definitely we're going to need that Gorilla Glue to stick it back on. I know it's one of the toughest glue out there, so I'm going to definitely need it.
Yes, it is the toughest. It's for the toughest jobs, and clearly that's the most important job that you've got going on right there. I'm loving this, Sincere McCormick. I'm rooting for you and your team. Let's have a little bit of fun, though, going out the door, right?
No, right.
That there's a UTSA, but there's, you know, Texas. And which team is better in the UT football system, Sincere McCormick?
Well, you know, 2022 will showcase that. But, you know, can't speak ahead. But, you know, like I said, I'm betting on myself. I'm betting on my team all day.
Okay. So, you know, you're too classy to go horns down is basically what you're saying right now, Sincere McCormick.
Yeah,
right?
I'm too classy. I like to keep it classy. You know what I mean?
That's why you're getting this award. Hey, congratulations to you and your team with what you've done so far. You know, enjoy the time with your daughter. And I'm excited for you. Is the plan to play on Sundays one day for you? Sincere, is that
the
plan?
Of course, that's something that me and my family, you know, we, you know, look at times. But you know, making sure getting that education first, though. So you know, you can't leave here without that education. So you know, that's the first thing my mom, you know, instilled into me. She wants me to get my education first. But you know, playing on Sundays, I'm looking forward to doing that too as well. So. Any team I end up, you know, I'll be grateful for.
Well, I look forward to meeting you one day in that regard, if not before at the combine, and I'll know who you are, not only because of this, but when we shake hands, my hand will stick to yours because it'll have Gorilla Glue all over it. So I'll know that. You know, I look forward to that, Sincere.
Don't get stuck on the ground on that 40.
Okay. You know, that's my problem is gravity, Sincere McCormick. You're right. That is my problem. From the very beginning, it's been gravity. So, you know, yeah. I'll look at your tape and you'll teach me something on that front.
Hey Rich, I see here on Sincere's Twitter that Meat Meat Nation is selling Run 3MC t-shirts. Is this your shirt, Sincere?
Yes, sir. Right. Run 3MC shirts came out last year before the NIL. And then when the NIL came out, we started proceeding to have the Run 3MC shirts. So hopefully everybody get a chance to get them. They're on my Twitter page. They're in my bio on my Instagram. So you can just click the link and buy a sweater or a shirt.
Well, I just bought a t-shirt.
Hey, there's another sell.
Yeah, so we'll have it here on the show at some point.
Okay, this is great. This is what a day. Enjoy your daughter's birthday, Sincere. Congrats on all of
that.
Thank you. Sincere McCormick, University of Texas at San Antonio running back and the winner of this week's Gorilla Glue toughest player on planet Earth. Fun stuff. Awesome. And this award is brought to you by Gorilla Glue, makers of high-quality adhesives and tapes. Much like the players this award recognizes, Gorilla brings toughness and strength to even the most difficult household projects and repairs. Gorilla Glue for the toughest jobs on planet Earth. Love that stuff right there. Okay, a team has confirmed they're out on Odell Beckham. That's next, along with Tom E. Curran. And also still to come, Major League Baseball, you know, they got a labor dispute on the horizon. The latest on that. All still to come before Bill Pullman joins us in studio. Don't go anywhere. Tommy Curran next.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Rick Stroud, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the Tampa Bay Times, he tweeted out, Bruce Arians confirms the Bucs are not in on the Odell Beckham Jr. sweepstakes. The quote is, no, we've already got AB. We don't need OBJ. Too many letters. Too many letters, says B.A.
Too many letters.
Too many letters. B.A. says, we've already got A.B. We don't need O.B.J. Too many letters.
I mean, they got T.B.12. C.G.
T.B.12. You know what I mean?
R.G.
M.E.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Too many letters.
I get it.
Interesting choice right there.
I get it.
He is one of our favorites. Certainly when everything Patriots crops up, this is who we reach out to. The man's been covering the Patriots forever and a day. For NBC Sports Boston, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, is none other than Tom Curran. How are you, Tom?
Hey, handsome. How are you?
I'm fine. Are you the sexiest man alive in New England right now? Is that what it is?
Sexiest man in my house right now, although I got some strong competition from 22-year-old Tim Curran.
Very good.
Working at home remotely.
Tim E. Curran? Is it an E also?
No,
is
he's an R.
Okay,
an R.
Tim R. Curran. Okay, yeah. Very good. So are the Patriots in on Odell or they're not right now?
They're banging on the window. They're banging on the glass saying, hey, look at us. And he fills the need that they have on their team. And, you know, from folks I've spoken to down there, they're intrigued by the prospect of it. They believe that he does fill a need that they have for short area ability to get open, to be a physical receiver, to do things in the red zone and on short yardage. The Patriots don't really have anyone to do. So they're definitely interested. I just don't know if they're going to be persuasive enough with the quarterback situation and their overall offense to get it done. It sounds like it's not trending that way, but the Patriots definitely interested.
They are interested. What about the idea that bringing in someone who from Cleveland that wasn't, you know, you're hearing the narrative about not being a precise route runner in a precision offense where you need to be, where you've got to be, do your job, essentially. Don't ever run off of script if you don't have to, when, you know, when you have a job to do and we tell you what the script is. And as long as you follow it, we hang banners. That's not a concern at all.
I just think that, I mean, does he have the capacity to be precise? I'm sure he does.
Sure.
Not a dumb guy. I think there's a lack of respect that probably an emboldened guy too by the contracts he's been given, whether it's in New York and you're playing for Ben McAdoo, and you finally say, I'm just not getting the ball, and my quarterback's not good enough, or you're in Kansas City, and you're playing for Kevin Stefanski, who certainly has done enough to warrant a level of respect, but you don't think you're being taken, your role is not being taken advantage of well enough. But I just don't think that when you come to New England on an 8-game audition, when you have to rehab your career, you're going to start telling the Patriots how it's going to be and what your particular Randy ratio will be. I just can't imagine, as much as he acted out, as immature as he might be, as divisive as he has been, that he would be dumb enough to come into an audition period and try and say, here's the lay of the land for OBJ, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you with me on that, right?
No, I don't know how divisive he is, though, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Like, every teammate kind of digs him. From, you know, maybe Mayfield feels differently, or a couple of people in Cleveland. But, you know, when he left the Giants, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he would actually be an outstanding fit for New England in a way that I think that Bill takes somebody else's either problem or supposedly declining player or player that didn't fit in where you have, and then they come to you, to the New England Patriots, and start balling out. I mean, Muhammad's, as I said earlier this week, that there's Randy Moss on one end of that scale, clearly, as a Hall of Famer, and Muhammad Sanu on the other end of that scale, right? And Beckham would be closer to Randy Moss than Muhammad Sanu, in my estimation.
He sure would. And when we talk about this, Bill did give us insight a long time ago. This is the great thing about covering the team for so long, is you get to understand, when he was more open, how his mind works. He said about guys like Corey Dillon,
right?
Specifically Corey Dillon, if you look at his resume, every problem he had was football related. Now, he had a tough upbringing. He was a pain in the ass up in Seattle, and he had all kinds of trouble as a kid. But his problems in Cincinnati as a running back were on field, and how he was used was not off field stuff. Now, he certainly deviated that from that with Antonio Brown. His stuff was not football-related. It was just, he was nuts. I mean, he behaved in bizarre ways. I think OBJ would be closer to a guy whose issues are football-related rather than off-field. So that would be, to me, a reason that Bill Belichick would be more in the market for Odell Beckham Jr. But I guess what we have to wonder, too, is what's the upshot of the New England Patriots 2021 season? No matter what's going on in Kansas City, you know that they're going to right the ship and be in contention to play in, if not win a Super Bowl. Same thing with Green Bay. Seattle, with Russell Wilson, I would say the same thing. You can change things in 8 games. With New Orleans, it's a homecoming, and you're still playing with a Hall of Fame head coach. In New England, I just don't know if the pieces are in place, because this is still, Rich, a rebuilding team. It's 5-4. Because the Patriots don't bottom out like the Jaguars or the Dolphins or other teams that have to go 2-14 and they rebuild. You know, last year was their crater. Now they're still rebuilding, but they're playoff contenders.
Tom Curran here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's get into that, about what the Patriots are in 2021. I saw them in SoFi a couple weeks ago with my own two eyes, and that looked like a playoff team to me, Tom. That was a playoff team.
Yeah.
That was a team that went into, across the country, all those time zones away, went into an opposing team's building. There was seemingly half of Quincy in the stands, though, to be honest with you, and surrounding areas. But it still was a highly impressive victory from the fact that Mac Jones was the guy who read the defenses and took what was given to him and then was able to exploit things when he could, not Justin Herbert. The defense that played and balled out and turned things over just when you needed to and then played the game smartly when the clock was winding down by sliding to keep from going out of bounds. Mm-hmm. They were situationally more brilliant. That looked like the Patriots to me. That's the not last year, this year. What is, from your perspective, going on to get them to this 5-4 mark and seemingly back, Tom?
The whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and they're very well coached, and they stayed the course defensively and actually changed a little bit. I don't want to get two X's and O's, but they've gone away from the man stuff, and they're way more zone, so a simpler defense generally to run. So there's fewer busts like we saw maybe against Dallas, which cost them that game. Really, I mean, Rich, you don't even have to really squint too hard to see how this team could be 8-1.
Right.
5-4. Dallas, Tampa, and the fumble-plagued loss in the opener to Miami could have all been wins. Again, ifs and nuts,
This and candies. But
whatever the hell it is.
Yes, right.
My aunt, my uncle, everything else.
Yes.
But, I mean, you look at this team, and they're highly capable, but they're never going to blow teams out. I mean, they kind of did, obviously, with the Jets, but they're going to be very close to the bone all year long. They're going to be close to the bone this week with Cleveland. They have to play precisely, and it's part of the reason is they have uncertainty in key spots, and that's in terms of protection. It's at both tackle spots where Trent Brown has been absent because of injury and Isaiah Wynn is underachieved, and it's because of a lack of explosiveness. Henry, Jonnu Smith, Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, Jacoby Myers, they're fine as a group, but you're not walking in the way you would with Edelman or Gronkowski and saying, oh, my God, what are we going to do about this guy? We better send 2.5 to him. You don't have to send 2.5 to anybody on the Patriots offense, and eventually that's going to bite him.
And that's why Bill is essentially holding up the boombox outside of OBJ's window right now?
It's got to be, hey, we're just missing this. Mm-hmm. So why not roll the dice and see how far we can get?
Tom Curran here on the Rich Eisen Show. The fact that they are even thinking about let's add Odell right now, or they're in on it, I think is just the latest sign of how they feel like they are, in fact, set at quarterback. And that Odell could be, in fact, enticed to join Belichick's organization and team and things like that. And, Beckham has been on record as being very complimentary and lauding Belichick, because Mac Jones is he doesn't look like a rookie, man. I didn't see that at all. I saw him wait and wait and wait for receivers to clear against the Chargers. He didn't panic. He threw the ball away when he should. That was not a rookie quarterback I saw a couple weeks ago. You got a good story of right now of where Jones is in his development and what the Patriots feel on that front?
He has Mac-toed a little bit. Because between last week and this week, those were his two least impressive games, really, in terms of accuracy. And I would watch that for this week with Cleveland, too, because the edge rushers from Carolina bothered him, and he had he was accurate, but he did not have a good second half. And I thought that with the Chargers, he was really inaccurate on some throws. You're exactly right. And that's the coolest thing about his development is you see a player like, say, for instance, Zach Wilson throw a pick or two early, and then it's just an avalanche. With Mac Jones, whether it's a bad practice or a bad series in training camp, or it's in the regular season, he has a bad series, throws a pick six against the Cowboys, and then comes back and throws a touchdown. His resilience is ridiculous. But he has, in the last 2 weeks, plateaued just a little bit. He's playing like closer to a rookie than he had been as a 5-year veteran. I'm not nitpicking what your point on the Chargers game was. The way he closed that game was really impressive because he didn't turn into a puddle.
No.
He fixed it. And that's what you need from a young quarterback if he's going to be shouldered with all that. That's why, to me, Rich, the conversation about who the offensive rookie of the year is kind of a non-starter. I mean, it's got to be Mac Jones. No matter what Devontae Smith and Ja'Marr Chase do, Mac Jones has, in the last calendar year, gone from Alabama, gone through the draft process where he was the fifth best quarterback and maybe a second rounder to being the fifth, you know, fifth one taken, 15th overall, unseats Cam Newton, a former MVP, begins the season as a starter, rolls, you know, in one of the more storied places, has the team in a position to go to the playoffs, has to shoulder all that, has to be as efficient as he has been, has to succeed Tom Brady, has to compete against Tom Brady. I mean, a receiver is, even an outstanding otherworldly receiver, never going to compare to shouldering the same load as a good to very good quarterback. And the impact is never going to be the same. That's why, to me, your offensive rookie of the year is and should be almost always by default the quarterback. That's why I voted for Herbert over our very, very brilliant Justin Jefferson last year, who I loved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it should go the same way with Jamar Chase.
There's Najee Harris, too, out there as well.
Yeah,
and,
you're right.
You know,
can you find a guy? I mean, it was so funny the other night. He had one of those Le'Veon Bell runs.
He
took off.
And the reason why the Steelers have won four in a row is because he has come to the fore and they are centering their offense around him. And it allows Ben to find the guys down the field. You know what I mean? And Roethlisberger is definitely more upright and clean. And, you know, so at some point that's going to be the case. But I had Matthew Judon on Monday's show, Tom Curran, and asked him about Mac Jones. And one of the things that I definitely followed up on when he was talking about what's impressive about Mac Jones, he said the spirit that he takes coaching with. And I just found that interesting that a defensive player is noticing that from afar or he's seen it up close. Are they coaching him really hard? Are they getting in his ear hole? Stuff like that?
Ridiculously hard. Yeah. I mean, they were crushing Carolina, even though not on the scoreboard. Carolina had no shot the other day. Could have locked them in the gym all day and they wouldn't have scored a hoop. And he had two. Mac Jones did in the second half. He had a really sluggish drive where he threw one into the cheerleaders and then overthrew one. It was just sloppy looking passes. And McDaniels just tore it to him on the bench. And it's just interesting because you don't see that with a lot of rookie quarterbacks because there's a mentality of coddling, bringing them along. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's going to make some. I mean, you get a 4-pick game out of Zach Wilson. It's like, yeah, we'd like to have a few of those back. What? Call it like you see it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He gets it hard.
No, I definitely wanted to ask about that. So, a last one for you. What do you think Belichick's dialing up for this week? What do you think with Baker coming in? No Chubb. They just had a terrific performance, obviously, against Cincinnati. What do you think first blush might be coming Cleveland's way and what I think is one of the marquee games of week 10?
I agree
10.
With you. They will be playing. It'll be interesting because I don't know if they'll go the cover two stuff that they did. They haven't seen you know, the Chargers, they did a lot of, you know, zone, but that was a better throwing team. I don't think the Chargers are that. The Browns are that. The Browns are kind of a mirror image of the Patriots. Running game, tight ends, pretty smart quarterback who can be accurate. So I would say they're going to challenge Baker Mayfield and see if he can throw over the top a little bit. And they're going to, when he does that, rely on your Monday guest, Matthew Judon, who mm-hmm. is playing at certainly a Pro Bowl level, maybe even an All-Pro level.
He's been great. Tom, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's chat down the line. You be well.
Okay.
That's
see ya.
Tom Curran, Patriots Insider, NBC Sports Boston, everybody. What do you take out of it, Patriot honk over there?
Patriot honk? Rich, I prefer voice of New England sports.
Okay.
I love it. I'm not sure Mac Jones is rookie of the year offensively. I mean, I kind of like some of those other guys. I like Najee Harris and Jamar Chase a little bit better, but I think this is a playoff team, and while they're still a playoff team, like Tom said, it's still a rebuild. Like, we still need some more offensive weapons. Running game looks good. Still needs to shore up the offensive line, but the defense is playing top-notch football, and that kind of goes back to the first kind of Patriot Tom Brady dynasty where Tom didn't have to do too much, do just enough, don't lose the game. Let the defense finish at home, and that's kind of what you're seeing this year.
I think the chase of Odell being in on it, okay, speaks to two things. One, they realize what they're missing.
Yep.
that they need someone to take the top of the defense off, because Aguilar was supposed to be that.
And he's not.
He is yet to be that.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're like, okay, we need that. It's something they need.
Yeah.
But the fact that they would go and do it with, you know, week 10 upon us, I would imagine, even if the news breaks now in the middle of this sentence, that Odell signs with the Patriots or someone else, that Odell wouldn't be on the field for week 10. You know?
Yeah, probably not.
And I think that was part of why Cleveland waited till Friday to do what they did, because that meant he wouldn't clear waivers till Tuesday, and then the free agent tour would take him off the chessboard for two games, you know, this week and the following. So that means you're getting him from weeks 11 through 18, okay? You're getting him for the second half of a season. And the fact that they do that means, yeah, sure, could they bring him in now and get him up to speed on the Patriot way and then keep him in the fold? That, I assume, might be the idea of a team that signed him, right?
I think so.
Correct. So there's the now, and then there's the over the steering wheel. But the fact that they're willing to do it now means they think they can win right now. And you have to look at the rest of this conference. Look at the rest of the conference. 5-4 is two games worse than the number one seed right now in the 7-2 Titans. 5-4, okay, is a game and a half behind the only six-win team in the Ravens. And you're a half game behind a slew of 5-3 teams, and you've got the same record as four other 5-4 teams. This is a wide-open conference, man.
Wide open.
All right. The division is now something you could begin to talk about. You're a half game behind the Bills, and you've yet to play them yet, and you're probably very confident that you could do to Josh Allen what, you know, you have habitually done to other young quarterbacks. I know Allen finally broke through last year, but this is a different team, different defense now. You got to think about the division, and also, you know who's on the Patriots' schedule? If you could put that up, Mr. Hoskins. The Titans are still on that schedule. So if you can keep winning and win your division and have in your back pocket a head-to-head against Tennessee, which is in 3 weeks from now, their next three games are this game against Cleveland. They're at Atlanta on a Thursday night, short week. And then there's that home game on Thanksgiving weekend, that Sunday. There it is. Home for Tennessee, and then at Buffalo, bye week, late bye to get nice and healthy for the stretch run at Indianapolis. Their home game against Buffalo, home for Jacksonville, at Miami to finish where things go a little crazy. You can make some hay here in those final eight games. Certainly the seven that you have with Odell, if you get him. And so you're thinking that. And also, if you're going to add a vocal wide receiver wanting the football, all right? Now, he may not have told his dad to cut the video and he wasn't in the edit room. People ascribe that to Odell. But if you're going to bring somebody with that on his table and get him in the huddle with a rookie quarterback who has been just copacetic this year, trending upward, and you're going to have somebody very vocal saying, get me the ball, and maybe make this young quarterback think, I've got to get him the ball. You're going to bring that into the equation. You're pretty damn confident that Mac Jones can handle it. That's what I'm seeing about the pursuit of Odell here. They feel like they need him. They see what their weakness is. They need somebody like him. That's an admission, if you will. And the other two are like, we can win now. We can make a run. 2-3 weeks ago, that's like, get out of here.
Yeah.
I just showed you the reality, the boots on the ground of what you are in your record and what everyone else is with their record.
Got to get to 10 wins.
But you have Tennessee. You can take care of Tennessee yourself. Right? You're two games behind Tennessee right now.
That's a team that's had, you know, their number.
I get it.
Few years.
Here we go. That's a big game. By the way, same weekend of Packers and Rams, too. That weekend's going to be amazing. But this is what reading the tea leaves about Odell on the radar screen of New England shows that they need him. They have a shot to do it this year. The it being make some hay, go deep. And they believe in their quarterback to be able to handle it. Let's take a break. When we come back, baseball at the crossroads again. That's next here on The Rich Eisen Show.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
We just had a caller asking if I'd be up for an all or nothing rule, like letting NFL players taunt to their heart's content. Or not at all. I'm like, I'm not up for that.
We also don't want these guys being robots.
I'm not up for that.
I mean, it's an emotional game.
Yes, I understand, which means you as the referee, you're the one who can discern. That is your job. It is your job to evaluate, discern, and then make a ruling on the spot. It's very difficult to do. That's why there's replay to back you up. That's why there's a rule book for you to lean on. I get it. I get it, but I don't like all or nothing. One of our favorites in the history of this show, we used to have him on our podcast as well, and somebody who I've gotten to know and I think is one of the smartest guys I've ever met, Steven Soderbergh, the director, the Academy Award winner, director. Remember he came up with the idea of having a PED Olympics in where yeah. Everybody, you take whatever you want.
Absolutely.
Take whatever you want. Doesn't matter if you come with a trapezoid head and your back's broken out and pimples or whatever. Just do it. And let's see how the limits of the human body can handle being juiced up. He said, hold it in Vegas. That's where you hold it in Vegas.
Absolutely.
It's great. You know?
Let's go.
It'd be like we could call Ocean's 111, you know, because it's even the numbers on steroids. And that's a joke, you know, like that's something straight out of The Onion. That's why you don't do all or nothing. There has to be some rules.
I used to say that about Adrian Peterson in his prime. Like, what if we just let him for 1 year do whatever he wanted to just to see what would happen?
No, that's what Soderbergh was saying. Like, let everybody take whatever they want.
Totally.
Come and hopped up on whatever they want and just see what the human body can do.
Yeah. Totally down.
Right?
Yeah.
I think I'm to watch that. Like a PED Olympics. Like, as a matter of fact, there's no rules and let's not even... You know, let's just lift the kimono, man. Let's not even have any pretense on, I guess that person's clean because they passed all the protocols. Like, no, he just assumes everyone's cheating, so just let everyone cheat. That's just, you know, there's no...
So I guess that's why...
There's no win.
In bodybuilding, they have, like, natural... You ever see that where they have someone who won, like, a Mr. California Natural, I think, or something like that? So is that the admission that... Someone else might not be.
I think it's just using your eyes from back in the day. So baseball, we love. God, we love baseball. Love it. So that's why whenever things don't go baseball's way, I get upset. I want you all to love it. By the way, let's talk a little bit of the positive. Did you see the Phillies announced that for much of their year, Monday through Thursday, weekday home games, first pitch 6:30.
Hey.
Wow. 6:30.
Let's go.
And giving the kids a little bit of a shot to see the ninth inning. Certainly, you know, when you're playing lefty righty and all that business and the guys are checking the hats to make sure that the cards are right on the right numbers and everything grinds to a halt. Giving those kids a shot at seeing the end of a game.
That's great.
Certainly, I thought that's great. So there we go. There's the positive. Now here's the other stuff. John Heyman, who covers the sport of baseball for his organization, which is MLB Network and Odyssey Sports. We love being on Odyssey every day. Management source on the state of CBA negotiations, as bad as I've ever seen it.
Oh.
The prediction is 2.5 months of pain. Now, that begins on December 1st. CBA expires on December 1st. 2.5 months of pain means pitchers and catchers reporting, and then that's when push comes to shove. That's when midnight strikes. So enjoy the old hot stove, man. All you Atlanta fans needing to be concerned about Freddie Freeman, either get it done in the next 2 weeks or we'll see you in the middle of February. Guess what we'll get done in the next 2 weeks? Anything to do with anything because you don't know what the rules are. This happened with the lockout of the NFL. nothing's going to happen. I know they're all meeting and all the meetings are going on and we could talk about this and that and who wants to go here and who wants to go there. Baseball fans, 0.0 is going to move because nobody knows what the rules of engagement are. They're not going to sign anybody if there's going to be this new cap or that luxury tax that acts as a cap or anything like that sort of stuff. Then on top of it, they named their MVP candidates for 2021. Not a single American League or National League MVP candidate made the playoffs, which I know is sticks in your craw, does it not, over there,
so
Chris?
Stupid.
Yep, not a single one made the playoffs.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the sport.
One of the one of the manager of the year got fired, Mike Schilt. And one of the managers of the year, not in the American League, one of the American League not manager of the year candidates was Alex Cora. Because I guess they're still punishing him of what happened.
Yeah.
Even though he could have done the greatest job of anybody.
Or no Brian Snicker, no, none of these guys. Like, this is what.
But that's baseball writers, isn't it?
But this is the problem, though. This is the problem with waiting till 2 weeks now after the season has ended.
Why are we even doing that?
It's the middle of November.
I guess they're trying to get
us
talking about it.
Announce the awards at the end of the year.
No, but they're trying to get us to talk about them in the middle of November.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Certainly if people who didn't make the playoffs are.
So we're talking about guys who haven't been playing for 2 months.
MVP of both leagues won't have made the playoffs, and it's entirely possible the American League Cy Young winner doesn't either if you give it to Robbie Ray.
A joke.
Well, we love baseball, though. Let's make sure everyone understands that.
Gosh.
The great Bill Pullman, the actor, in studio coming up.